It's fantasy football time on Patriots.com with the fantasy football champs.
Fitzgerald leaps, and he's got it! It's a touchdown for Larry Fitzgerald!
Dominate your league with the guys from FFChamps.com.
Three, throwing back in the end zone, leaping grab, touchdown!
Bill Enright and Anthony Grace are the fantasy football champs.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Fantasy Football Champs here on Patriots.com Radio. I am Bill Enright, and joined with me is the PPR monster, Anthony Grace. Anthony, very exciting time of year in fantasy football. Third preseason game is in the books, only 8 days away from the start of the NFL season as we're broadcasting live here on a Tuesday.
I cannot wait. Every day, it's like a countdown to Christmas when you're a kid. You got the little calendar, and you open each day, and a little chocolate or something
comes out.
Oh, thank you, Kevin. Thank you.
Can't wait.
Cannot wait.
Yeah, it's just a great time of year. You know, summer is winding down, but you get a little upset about that. But, you know, fall season comes, and that's when football season's here. And, of course, fantasy football season is here as well. And a lot of fantasy drafts are happening pretty much, I would say, up until next Thursday.
Yeah, I got a lot of stuff on Twitter over the weekend with a lot of drafts going on for some people we know. So they're definitely getting into full swing now, and this next week is going to be coming down to stretch for us, man. That's the most important time for us.
I think the last time we were on the radio, I had my Dynasty rookie-only draft. Last night I had my first redraft league of year. Then I have a draft tonight on Tuesday, one on Wednesday. I take off for Labor Day weekend. I don't take off, but I take off my drafts. I'm obviously working on the site. And then Monday and Tuesday. Two more drafts.
So what do you do? Are you doing 8 or 9 total there?
No, I'm not good at math, but I think it was like 6.
Okay.
My Dynasty League, 1 last night, 1 tonight, Wednesday, and then, 6.
6, all right, not bad.
You know what I did this year? I cut out on all the BS leagues. You know, a lot of people that do similar stuff that we do, that run different fantasy sites out there, they always ask, oh, you know, be in this league, be in this expert league, be in this expert league. You don't win any money. They don't publish the results because if they look bad, they don't want to look bad in front of their own customers. Yeah. So I'm doing these leagues really for no reason other than to help out other people, and I'm just not interested in doing that anymore.
Yeah, I did that a few years ago. I used to do, you know, 8 or 9 leagues, obviously more for fun, and you're doing more of the business side at that point. But, you know, last year I only did 1 league, my main league. This year I added an extra one in there, but the last couple of years, two leagues max, because you get to the point where you're playing against yourself. You're going to say, all right, I have Aaron Rodgers in League A. I'm playing against him in League B. He has to score at least 20 points, can't score more than 30. It kind of gets to be a pain, and you're just playing against yourself at that point, and it's a lot less fun.
I hear exactly what you're saying. And sometimes I think it's better to cut down on a few leagues and really just focus on just doing 2 or 3 of them really, really well, and then, you know, cut out to some of the BS stuff.
Yeah, man, as long as you got your friends in there and you can brag at the end of the year if you win, I think that's all that matters.
There you go. That's it. Let's say a quick hi to Kevin Collins, our esteemed producer. The youth of America looks up to him. Kevin, I know you're very busy, so we don't want to bother you too much with all this Logan Mankins
unfortunately, trade stuff
going on.
Today was turned from a kind of a quiet day to a crazy day for us.
Well, that's the world of the NFL, buddy. Welcome.
Yeah, so what do you guys think of the kind of the project coming back to the Patriots?
We'll get to that in a little bit.
We don't know much about him, so I'm looking forward to hearing you guys.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in a little bit. Tim Wright, former Tampa Bay Buccaneers, landing with the Patriots. We'll talk about that fantasy impact in just a little bit. But we wanted to say hi to you because you told me you were going to be busy.
Yeah,
wanted to get that out of the way.
Unfortunately, jamming away out here.
All right, well, go do what you got to do.
I'll be here.
Okay.
But I'll just be a little preoccupied. That's all. You don't have my complete and utter undivided attention
usual. That's fine. Anthony and I will be.
Cut out my usual, like, you know, mid-show nap break from you guys.
Oh.
So, you know, I have to work right through my nap. So that kind of stinks.
Anthony, another great reason why it's good to only focus on a couple leagues because, hey, leaves a couple more dollars in your pocket and a little bit more focus time to play daily fantasy football over at DraftKings. As you know, Fantasy Football Champs, presented by DraftKings.com. We've been talking about it all summer long. Daily fantasy football is blowing up this year. We want you to get in on the action. We want you to win some cash. It's a great way to get a free membership to FFChamps.com. All you have to do is go to FFChamps.com/Pats. You'll be able to get a free membership. You'll be able to win some cash playing daily fantasy football. And you'll also get into our exclusive contest for week one. $500 up for grabs, and that is just for FF Champs members only, and of course our Patriots listening audience. So I strongly suggest go to ffchamps.com/pats. You'll get not only our draft kit in case you're drafting this week, but everything that we do during the season, which includes expert advice, one-on-one, one-on-one advice tokens, our in-season weekly rankings, videos, articles, you name it, we got it. ffchamps.com/pats is how you get the free membership to ffchamps.com. And next week, Anthony, we'll be going through the differences of daily fantasy football compared to your traditional fantasy football league. So any newcomers out there, you'll certainly want to tune in next week. I feel like next week's a good time because we'll have the matchups. We'll be in week one mode next week.
Yeah, we have to be. It is week one next week. So yeah, it is week one matchup mode next week.
Right, right. It's kind of crazy because we don't have a show on Thursday because the Pats are playing against the Giants in the fourth preseason game. So no show on Thursday. Today is really one of the last days to get in your draft questions. Now, next week is probably going to be a hybrid show. Tuesday, I have a feeling we're still going to be getting a lot of draft questions because Tuesday night, maybe Wednesday, September 2nd, September 3rd is, you know, probably the last time for drafts. Our Thursday show on September 4th, that kicks off the season. Packers and the Seahawks Thursday Night Football, that's going to be dedicated solely to just week one. So I figure we'll do a daily fantasy versus traditional fantasy next Tuesday, September 2nd. No show this Thursday. So if you want to get in your last minute draft questions, today is the day to do it. 855-728-7500 is the phone number. 855-PATS-500. And of course, you reach us on email, webradio@patriots.com. Hit us up on Twitter if you're listening to the show on demand via the Patriots mobile app or on iTunes. We are at FF Champs. I am at Bill Enright, and you can follow Anthony at the PPR Monster. So a lot of hustle and bustle during the next 10 days for us, Anthony, with the transition from preseason to in-season.
Can't wait. This is the best time of the year. I love being a little bit hectic about it. Got something going all the time. Every time you turn on NFL Network or the TV or you go online, you're always seeing something new. And Kevin mentioned the Logan Mankins thing today. So we got a lot to get into. So whenever you're ready, Bill, let's jump into it, man.
Yeah, so today we're going to go to our preseason rankings recap. Who's moving up and who's moving down our cheat sheet. Recap some of the action from the third preseason game. And, of course, we're taking your phone calls, taking your emails, 855-728-7500, webradio@patriots.com. Really one of the last chance to get your draft questions in before Labor Day weekend. I do want to get into some news and notes here, Kevin, because we had a couple of significant injuries. As I predicted, in the third week of the preseason, a couple players always go down. They don't have huge fantasy ripple effects, but let's get into the first one. Probably the biggest one from the weekend is Sam Bradford, St. Louis Rams quarterback, tears his ACL for the second year in a row, the same knee. Back-to-back season, Sam Bradford is out. And remember, Ant, he was the last quarterback to really get that monster $70 million guaranteed contract the day he was signed.
Yeah, right before they changed it to that, you know, more NBA draft format where it's kind of a pay scale.
Right.
Sam Bradford, I mean, you know, it's sad to see. He had potential. He never really did a lot in the fantasy world, but last year before he tore his ACL apart again, he started looking pretty good, and in this preseason, he didn't look too bad. So I was kind of excited to see maybe a waiver wire pickup, bye week filler. He had a couple good matchups in there, but another year of an ACL tear. I mean, he's still young. He could have a chance to do something in the NFL, but it's not looking too bright for his future right now.
You know, the Rams had all those first-round draft picks. I wonder if they have, you know, some drafting remorse right now, not going after one of those quarterbacks that were available in the first round this year. But nonetheless, what do you think it does to Zach Stacy, the second-year running back for the Rams? What do you think it does to his fantasy value now that Sean Hill is taking over at quarterback for the Rams?
They got to hand the ball off a lot more, don't you think?
That's what happened last year. That's the same train of thought I'm having, is Bradford went out, Stacy just got fed a ton.
Yeah, and he's going to be doing it from the beginning of the season this year, so he'll have a lot more stats to put up, more yards, more touchdowns, more touches, everything positive. If you draft Stacy, you're looking at him. Might have to grab him a little bit earlier than you wanted to, but he's going to be worth it. He's going to get the touches. I mean, he played 13 games last year, almost 1,000 yards, eight yep. total touchdowns, 140 yards receiving, another 26 receptions he added in. You space that over 16 games, it's, what, close to 1,200 yards and 12, 13 total touchdowns, which is great production.
Yep. one of the few running backs in the NFL that is really like a workhorse for their team still.
Yeah, he's going to be that Eddie Lacy kind of guy where he's just going to be the guy on the field you have right. to watch out for. They have, you know, Tavon Austin. You're waiting for him to break out. He has some the speed, the breakaway he showed at the end of the year last year. But again, Sean Hill, you know, he's not that guy.
That brings up a good question, or brings up a good point. What do you think of the Rams receivers now? Tavon Austin, Kenny Britt, Brian Quick was looking good in preseason. Chris Givens was looking good in preseason. Jared Cook, their tight end. We have to downgrade those guys a little bit, right?
Yeah, we do have to downgrade a little bit. I mean, some of them did do work with Sean Hill in there being on the second team. So
all right.
He's got a connection with a couple of those guys, but Stacy's the only guy you really want to touch, maybe reach for a little bit from the Rams. Again, Tavon Austin, Kenny Britt, one of those guys late in a draft, take a flyer, see what happens. Zach Stacy's the only guy you're really going to want to touch from the Rams at this point, and in their defense, obviously.
All right, let's move off of the Sam Bradford news. Again, St. Louis Rams quarterback Sam Bradford out for the year with a torn ACL. Now we move to Carolina Panthers quarterback Cam Newton, hairline fracture in his ribs. Does this affect his draft stock?
I don't think it should, no.
Okay.
He's coming off the ankle, so if anything I'm worried about, it's that ankle situation, seeing how he moves. I mean, if he can play, he's the kind of guy, he's a warrior. He's going to get out there, he's going to play. He knows he's going to get hit. He's that quarterback. He's going to run, he's going to take some hits, but he's a big boy. He's not going to break down like other guys, and that ankle worries me more than the ribs. So I think if he comes out into week one, he looks all right, he can move around, I think he's going to be fine. He's going to be a late-round pick that can give you good production.
Yeah. All right, former Patriots wide receiver Wes Welker, now with the Denver Broncos, of course, suffered another concussion over the weekend. That is his third concussion in the last 10 months. How much does this impact what you think of Welker's durability for the 2014 season?
Obviously, it's not looking good for him, not even just for 2014, but all the stuff the NFL's trying to do to help prevent concussions, all the studies and the research they're doing, you know, the Junior Seau thing a few years ago. It's not looking good for Wes Welker, not just this year, but just his career moving forward.
Now, Emmanuel Sanders, he has to be the second wide receiver from the Broncos off the board, right?
No question about it.
Yeah. All right. I mean, he had a monster preseason game, too.
Yeah, he was on. We were doing our draft that night, Saturday night, when he came on. He just touchdown after touchdown.
Yeah.
Wish I would have drafted him. So people are like, oh, do you want to trade for Emmanuel Sanders to the guy who had him? Like, get out of here, man. Of course he doesn't want to trade Emmanuel Sanders, especially with Wells Welker going down. His value just jumped up real high.
Yep. Very true. Sticking with the Broncos, how about Matt Prater suspended for violating the league's substance alcohol abuse policy? Prater was our number one rated kicker, and he's out for the first four games of the year.
Never thought we'd see a scramble for a kicker replacement, did we? But
it's nuts.
I guess this year, you know, the guy who drafted Matt Prater in my league texted me the next morning. He says, what am I going to do? My kicker's out for four games for drinking. And I just laughed at him. I said, I've never seen anyone in such a tizzy about picking up a kicker before the season starts. Oh, man. Matt Prater. Well, again, when he comes back, if he's on your waiver that week, he comes back, pick him up. He's still going to be the best kicker when he is in the game. So, again, if you drafted him, drop him for another kicker. If you got an extra spot on your bench, whatever, hang on to him. But, again, he's a kicker. Life goes on.
A few more news items to get here. Steelers coach Mike Tomlin says he's yet to make a decision on whether the Steelers organization will punish or suspend Le'Veon Bell and LeGarrette Blount. Of course, their mishap last week both got charged with possession of marijuana, and even though we don't think the league will suspend either player this year, more likely going to be in 2015, Tomlin coming out and saying that there's still a possibility that the team decides to suspend either one of them.
Yeah, I remember a few years ago the same thing with Santonio Holmes. He got caught with the marijuana,
right,
and they suspend him for a game on their own. So don't be shocked if they do the same thing. I heard something that they might, if Tomlin does suspend him, he's going to suspend Bell for 1 week and Blount for the next week, not at the same time. So that
would
be something interesting.
Yeah, that would be smart.
Oh, man.
Mike Tomlin, one of my favorite coaches in the NFL.
I love watching Tomlin talk at press conference.
Too.
That guy is just great. He just looks like he can kill you with his eyes on TV. He's just always fired up, and I love that.
One of my favorites.
Definitely.
The Minnesota Vikings, the Minnesota Vikings named Matt Castle their starting quarterback for week one, and for the first time since 2007, We're not going to have a rookie quarterback under center.
In Minnesota, I don't think that's a bad thing. Same thing with Cleveland. I don't think Manziel should be starting. But the Jacksonville situation intrigues me because Blake Bortles should be the guy. If quarterbacks sit, like Aaron Rodgers, for example, he might have learned the playbook a little bit better. But Blake Bortles isn't learning from Brett Favre or a great quarterback. He's got Chad Henne in front of him. Right. Blake Bortles looks very good this preseason when he was playing. I think he should be the guy to start if any rookie should be starting this year.
Okay. Interesting. I had to ask all my Twitter followers to find out that stat for me. Last quarterback, last season where a rookie quarterback did not start in week one, it was 2007. A couple people chimed in with that answer, so I'm just assuming it's correct.
I'm not 100% sure, but usually whoever's starting a rookie quarterback, I'm assuming it's Cleveland. So
yeah, yeah, right.
Brandon Whedon and who you have, you.
And then finally, the Patriots news that Kevin was anticipating our analysis. The Pats traded Logan Mankins for reportedly a 2015 fourth rounder and Tim Wright, the tight end for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Last year, Wright had 54 catches, 571 yards, and 5 touchdowns. And as a fantasy guy, you probably remember Tim Wright the most as one of those players that was both a wide receiver and a tight end. You can use him in either roster position.
Right. Yeah, that's a rare, rare case. You know,
yeah. Marquise Colston was that his rookie year as well.
Yeah, Marquise Colston. Almost Mr. Irrelevant in that draft, and look what he did. So, yep. At a little Hofstra University.
There you go.
This trade for both teams, I think, benefits them both, to be honest with you. Tim Wright, good tight end. They're probably going to try to run some of those tight end sets when Hernandez was there. He's obviously not the same caliber as that, but it's a good insurance policy in case Gronk goes down. So you have to bring in Michael Hanawanui or, you know, whoever their backup was going into this year.
The Who Man.
Yeah, and Tampa Bay, they needed a lot of offensive line help, and they got a very, very stellar guard that's still playing at a high caliber in this league.
See, they were looking at Richie Incognito, who just was, I guess, allowed back the NFL, I don't know, approved his status in the NFL once again or something like that. But
right, yeah, I saw that the other day.
Yeah, they were looking at Richie Incognito. I think this does Logan Mankins. Now the Bucs have a pretty good guard, like you mentioned. I think this does a great thing for Doug Martin.
Yeah, and with Tim Wright being gone there, they had Brandon Myers, a guy who had a couple good years in Oakland a few years ago, and that Austin Seferian Jenkins.
Correct.
Big, big tight end, a guy that they were expecting a lot of things to come from in their offense. Another guy, I mean, they got three guys that are 6'6 or bigger down in Tampa Bay to throw the ball to. So
don't sleep on the Bucs.
They're going to be very interesting. That defense should be better. They're going to be a fun team to watch, not just fantasy-wise, but just in the NFL. They're going to be a fun team.
All right, so that wraps up our news and notes coverage. 855-728-7500. Phone lines are jam-packed already. We're going to start off with Jason in Georgia in a 10-team league. What's going on, Jay?
Hi. This is my first year playing fantasy football, and I'm on Yahoo's fantasy football. And
we have a virgin! Fantasy football virgin, Jason in Georgia! Welcome to the show.
Thank you. We were doing the draft, and I was writing stuff, and I completely messed up my draft, so Yahoo gave me like a B-, despite me drafting at fourth. And the guy wants to propose a trade for Alshon Jeffrey for Alfred Morris.
Who would you be getting?
I'll be getting Alfred Morris.
Jason, my man, you got to wake up. This is your first year playing fantasy football. You should be pumped up about the start of the season. It sounds like you're falling asleep. I don't care what Yahoo ranked your team. They only do that. It's a computer-generated report. It's boring to me. I don't listen. I don't put any worth in that nonsense that they spit out after your draft. So I wouldn't be concerned about that. Now, if you have good receivers, then you can afford to trade away Alshon Jeffrey. But if he's your number two and you don't have a lot of depth, then getting out for Morris probably won't help out your team that much. I think we lost Jason. All right. He might never play fantasy football again after that.
Yeah, he's got to get pumped up, man. God, going into the draft, I woke up like 4 in the morning, could not fall back asleep that day. I was just so jacked up, man. I was ready to go. You got to be loving it every single day. Especially, and after you draft... Every day is like Christmas. Waking up, checking out your lineup, checking out who's on the waivers, making some trade offers. That's great. It's great. Gotta love it.
Let's see if Sean in Ireland is a little bit more pumped up. What's going on, Sean?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Right. We're doing great. Nice to hear from you.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Quick question for you. We did the draft last night, 16-team league, snake draft. And someone's offered me, I have Tom Brady as my QB. He's offered me Joe Flacco. But I'm looking for running back often as well.
Which running back?
He's got. He's not going to give me any of the two in his starting lineup, but he's Williams for the Giants.
Andre Williams and Joe Flacco for Tom Brady? I'm not taking that deal.
No, you can't do that. Especially in a 16-team league, there's probably not a whole lot of quarterbacks floating around on that waiver wire you can trust week to week.
Yeah.
Oh, no, there's definitely not. No. Well, I get my two running backs are Shankly is this from Tennessee and Ben from Detroit.
Sankey and Droik Bell, not bad. 16-team league, who else you got?
AJ Green and, what's his name, Dez Bryant.
Oh.
And Decker is my flex.
I'll tell you, in a 16-team league, you're starting Brady, AJ Green, Dez Bryant. Love the two wide receivers.
Yes.
Droik Bell, he's a top 15 guy for me. And then Bishop Sankey, I know he's a rookie, but he should have a lot of opportunity down there in Tennessee. And Eric Decker, he's not going to do what he did with the Broncos, but he can certainly be serviceable as your flex. I think this is a pretty solid squad.
Well, I have your man, you know, Benji or whatever from Carolina, the rookie. I have him on my bench. I could use him as the flex.
Oh, Kelvin Benjamin.
Yeah.
Okay, that's good too. Listen, I think in a PPR league, Dez Bryant and AJ Green will carry your team. If Tom Brady returns to what he did, a couple years ago and not just what he did last year, from a fantasy perspective, you'll be all set, pal.
Yeah, I was the last pick, the 16th, but I had the 17th, and I was listening to your show on the podcast and stuff, and a lot of them went, you know, the top four or five running backs, and then some of them started picking quarterbacks. So I got Green and Dez Bryant 16th and 17th.
That's phenomenal. I think that's a really good value.
I got Brady in the 7th.
There you go. See, that's why you always wait on your quarterback, even in a 16-team league. Good luck to you, Sean, and thank you for calling in all the way from Ireland.
Thanks, guys. I'll talk to you again.
Okay, take care.
I like that team.
Listen, 16-team league, that's a tough, tough league.
Yeah.
So, you know, people probably hear, oh, he's got Droik Bell and Bishop Sankey as his running backs. There's only, 20 running backs in the NFL that you'd really want on your fantasy squad to be a running back one and a running back two?
Yes.
25, maybe?
Maybe.
Right. So he's in a 16-team league. That's tough, man. I like the fact he went for Dez and AJ Green. I think that was a good strategy.
A tremendous value picking 16 and 17 right there. I love it.
Yeah. Great. Yeah,
PPR, Droik Bell's still going to get his points anyway, so don't worry about it.
Yeah, there you go. A couple more callers to get to, 855-728-7500. We're going to Neil in Pennsylvania. He's in a 10-team standard scoring league. What's going on, Neil?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Going great, man. What do you got for us?
I'm a little bit of a scramble mode right now. I was banking on a Thursday show to try to space out my questions, but I'll try to get them all in here now.
Right, Rob.
Full background, it's a dynasty keeper league, first and second round picks, keep for 3 years. Third and fourth round picks to keep for 2 years. I'm coming into the season. I draft this Saturday. I'm picking number 7 overall. I'm coming in. My team looks like Jay Cutler and Tony Romo. I have held over a quarterback. At wide receiver, I have Brandon Marshall, Calvin Johnson, who I kept this year, and Hakeem Nicks. And then at running back, I have Darren Sproles and Gio Bernard.
Okay.
So I'm trying to think. We have... Last year, it pretty much ended up being almost like a rookie draft. I took Gio in the first round just because everyone was being kept. But the guys we have come back into the draft this year are Demaryius Thomas, Jimmy Graham, Dez Bryant, Aaron Rodgers, Alfred Morris. I'm thinking at 7, I'm probably not going to get a shot at any of those guys. So I'm looking more the if I should plan for the future and maybe bank on a guy like Bishop Sankey doing well this year as well as 2 years down the road. Or if you guys think Zach Stacy or Andre Ellington or C.J. Spiller be safe at 7?
Andre Ellington is by far and away my overall pick there.
And I'm
without a doubt. Not taking Sankey. I mean, I have Andre Ellington as a top 12 running back. I think that's a no-brainer pick for you.
And that's even standard scoring?
Yeah, standard scoring's fine, too.
Okay. And now say a couple of the other guys end up picking the younger rookies or something like that. and a guy like Aaron Rodgers drops to me at 7. Next year I come in with no QBs. This is my last year for Cutler and Romo. Do I take a guy like Aaron Rodgers in the first round and have him for the next 3 years?
And then what? Do you lose a first-round pick for him?
For who?
Aaron Rodgers.
He would be my first-round pick.
Yeah, but every year for the next 3 years?
No, it's just a contract. You pretty much keep your guys on their contracts, and then you just redraft. You don't lose any picks.
You don't lose any picks.
Yeah.
That's not a bad idea either, because you make a sacrifice this year, and listen, there's a difference between waiting on your quarterback or being in a keeper league or being in a two-quarterback league where, all right, so you're going to take Aaron Rodgers this year, but the next 2 years you get to keep him without losing a draft pick.
Right.
So I might go Aaron Rodgers there. I'm not in love with your running backs. I'm not in love with your quarterbacks either, to be honest with you. Who'd you say it was? Jay Cutler and Romo? I don't mind Romo. Yeah, I don't mind Romo. I don't know if you want to carry three quarterbacks on your team.
Right.
Is it a snake draft?
Snake draft. So I'd come back around. I'd have to.
You think Andre Ellington will be there for you on the way back?
I hope so. I mean, I don't know how much steam he's picking up with the guys, but what do you think about C.J. Spiller coming back? Is he going to improve from last year?
You know, I took C.J. Spiller last night in the fourth round, and I was not really happy doing it.
Right.
I got burned by him last year, and I really wanted Shane Vereen because it was a PPR league, and he got picked like two spots ahead of me, and I was really upset, and I ended up just taking Spiller, but it didn't get me all warm and fuzzy. Andre Ellington, I love it. C.J. Spiller, after taking Aaron Rodgers, I'm not that crazy about it, and especially with Geo as your number one.
Right, and a non-PPR.
That's tough, man.
Yeah.
Doug Martin being kept?
What about a guy like Chris Johnson?
Yeah, I like him a little bit later.
Because the only thing is, we started this league 4 years ago. I had the first pick in the draft, so 3 years ago. So Chris Johnson was my number one overall pick.
Yeah,
and that was the year he started tanking. So I finally just got rid of him after 3 years of doing nothing for me. So it's kind of like, so I want to take him back. And
I mean, I wouldn't take him at 7. I wouldn't take him at 13 or whatever that pick is either.
No. All right.
I don't mind going Rodgers. Anthony, you want to chime in here? What do you think?
Yeah, no, I think Rodgers, if you don't get Thomas, Dez, Graham, someone like that, Rodgers might be your best bet. Because like you said, you get him for 3 years, you're not being penalized for it. And if you have to trade Romo or, something like that, maybe someone's quarterback goes down, you can get a running back for Romo. It's not going to be a stud, but if you could pair someone with Geo better than Darren Sproles at that point, you make out even better. And like Bill said, keep your eye on Zach Stacy. Maybe he comes back to you that second round that you get a pick, because he's a guy we were just talking about. He's going to get a lot of touches this year with Sam Bradford being out.
What would you guys think about a guy like Manziel in like the third or fourth, just to have him for next year if he starts?
No, absolutely not. Not if you're going to have Cutler, Romo, and Rodgers.
Well, no, I'm saying if I don't get Rodgers, if I take Manziel that next year he's a starter.
Not worth it.
No? Okay.
Nope. All right, Neil, we appreciate the phone call. We got to move over to Paul in Minnesota. He's in a 12-team PPR league. What's going on, Paul?
Hey, thanks for taking the call, guys. Just had a question. I'm kind of new to auctions, and I got some auctions coming up in some of my leagues, and the one I'm really pumped for is a 12-team auction.
Okay.
And, I've kind of fallen in love with two players, but I just want to make sure that I don't, blow my budget on these guys to ground my team in. And they were Eddie Lacy and Monty Ball. They're just a little bit outside the top four. I was thinking I might be able to save a few bucks at that. And I'm wondering, is that too much money? Obviously, you don't know how the auctions are going to go, and I have sheets that give me, estimated values. But if I were to, say, go after those guys, am I looking at a wide receiver? Like, could I still afford someone, maybe like in a tier two, like a Keenan Allen, Pierre Garçon? Roddy White is
What's your budget?
$200 budget.
$200, and you're thinking about going after two running backs early, Eddie Lacy and Monte Ball?
Yeah, I like their upside this year, and I like their, I think they'll catch balls too.
Have them both pinned at 27% of your overall budget. So if you're in a $100 budget, it's $27, and if you're in a $200 budget, it's whatever 27 times 2 is.
Okay.
Anthony?
Yeah, 52.
There you go.
54, I'm sorry, 54.
54. That's why we keep him here.
That's
so
right.
Eddie Lacy and Monte Ball would probably be going for, what's 57 times, what was it, 54?
A touch over $100 for the two of them combined.
For two of your players, you're spending 50% on two players. I don't know if you want to do that. I'd rather see you get one of Lacy, one of Ball. Then maybe take it. Are you in a standard? You're in a PPR. Then take your shots on Droik Bell, Shane Vereen, Pierre Thomas, Danny Woodhead, because they're going to be cheap, especially if guys are overpaying for people that they like a Giovanni Bernard or I think Eddie Lacy's up there with people overpaying for him this year. Monte Ball, maybe you get less for that. But I would go with one of those running backs and then stack up on a lot of pass-catching guys. And that's what I like about auction leagues. You can determine who you draft or who's on your team based on who you like the most. It's not really allocated just on your draft position. That's what makes auction drafts great. You mentioned Keenan Allen. I like him as a wide receiver in a PPR league. I like Pierre Garçon, too. But I don't know if you should spend over 50% of your budget just on Lacy and Ball.
What are your thoughts on Andre Ellington? I kind of like him, too.
Andre Ellington we have for 18% of your total budget. So in your league, that would be 36?
Yep.
Yeah, 36 bucks. 36 buckarooskies.
All right.
And $36. Finally, I don't know what it translates to pesos. $36.
You like Doc Martin to have a comeback season? Or?
Yeah, 17%. We have him just a hair over my boy Ellington.
All right.
No, I'm sorry. Just a hair under.
All right. Well, thanks for the help.
You got it, buddy. Best of luck to you, Paul. Hey, you doing any auction leagues?
I really don't. I mess around with the mock auction leagues just to play around with it. I think I've done one 2-3 years ago. It's really interesting to see what people do because, like you said, a lot of people do what Paul was just saying. They will spend over half their budget on two studs, you know. The guy I was watching a few years ago, he picked up like Marshawn Lynch and Adrian Peterson and spent like $140 out of 200. It's like, you got two studs, but you're going to really have to get lucky with the dollar guys and the $2 guys that you're going to try to pick up. Maybe you get Justin Hunter for $2, but if he doesn't do anything, you're really hurting yourself. So
I hear you.
Spread it out as best you can. Like when I was doing something like that, I would go for middle guys. So I try to get an Andre Ellington and a Michael Crabtree and a Shane Vereen and a Roddy White. I mean, at least four guys I'm getting for about half my budget as there opposed to just two.
Yeah, yeah. Auction League, a whole different strategy compared to, you know, your typical draft format. But, hey, we're going to take a quick break here on the Fantasy Football Jams presented by DraftKings.com. Don't forget, we are taking your emails and your phone calls all show long. Webradio at Patriots.com. 855-728-7500 is the phone number. Get your free membership to FF Champs. Go to ffchamps.com/pats for a free membership, and we'll help you dominate your fantasy football league. More fantasy draft strategy and advice coming up right after this.
We're NRG, and we're a new kind of energy company, one that's hard at work making the most of renewable sources of energy, one whose solar energy is helping power football stadiums across the country, one that's developing new technologies that can one day turn your home into its own source of power and put you in charge of how you use it. We're putting that power into your hands. NRG, the power to change life.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or Tri-Corner Hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium, So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, and much more, including Pro Shop exclusives and sideline gear from Adidas, Nike, and New Era. The Pro Shop is located next to Gillette Stadium and is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop, your team, your store.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday, but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com and multiple fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to life. Now available for $3.99. At a Microsoft store near you. Having trouble setting your draft order for the 2014 season? Give Bill and Anthony a call at 855-PATS-500 to see where you should draft your favorite stud. Now, back to the Fantasy Football Champs.
Go. 2014 NFL season is only 8 days away as we are broadcasting live on Patriots.com radio. Bill Enright, Anthony Grace here, helping you with your fantasy draft questions. Again, the phone number 855-728-7500. Email us webradio@patriots.com. And if you're not listening live, hit us up on Twitter at FFChamps, at Bill Enright, and at the PPR Monster. And we've got, I don't know, maybe our most emails in a record-setting amount of time. I think we should start early, start often, and try to get to them as quickly as possible.
Yeah, man, they're piling up, so let's get to the emails
I don't
now.
Even know who the first one up is. Kevin has just been flooding my inbox. I think my phone just crashed. My email server, I use the program Thunderbird. It's like going crazy. I'm getting all these alerts, blowing up my computer, blowing up my laptop. I don't know what's happening right now.
All right, man, I got one pulled up here, so I'll get us going for now.
All right.
All right, Buddy Murray's coming to us from Sydney, Australia.
Oh, good.
Says, good day, guys. Really enjoying the podcast. Tried doing the DraftKings things, but it won't let an Australian enter.
Ooh, racist.
That all up? Yeah, that is. That's messed up, man. Yeah. All right, well, we'll see if we can find out something about that for you, man. But got my draft Saturday morning, picking number 5 in a standard league, but does not say how many teams. A 10-team league, I'm sorry. 10-team picking number 5. Doing mocks, I can get Eddie Lacy, but I feel that leaves me weak at wide receiver. When I go wide receiver, like a Megatron Julio Jones, I feel like I get a better start. My question is, by the time I get to my 4th pick, number 44 overall, I'm confused who I should take at running back. Do you think like a running back like a Joik Bell or Shane Vereen or Toby Gerhart would be a good starting running back?
I don't know about the running back one, Joik Bell, but I love him as a running back two. Same thing with Vereen, but it's a non-PPR, so I'm down on him as well. The problem with this team is not passing up on Eddie Lacy at five. I don't mind that if you're in a PPR league. But it's a non-PPR. You have to go Lacy over Calvin. You have to go Lacy over Demaryius Thomas. If you're getting points for those receptions, it's a different story.
Yeah.
But I'm not taking Calvin Johnson. I'm not taking a receiver over Eddie Lacy in a non-PPR league. I think it's that simple.
Yeah, you got to take Eddie Lacy there because, again, a lot of guys are going to have the same mentality. They're going to go for a running back in that first round, and you're going to have a stud wide receiver drop to you in a 10-team league. Coming back number five, you're still going to get a Brandon Marshall or an A.J. Green or a Julio Jones as your top receiver.
Right.
Pairing him with Eddie Lacy is going to be a very, very good thing, and you'll be very happy you did that compared to going receiver in a non-PPR.
There you go. All right, let's move on.
All right, moving on. We got our buddy Mike. Mike from Ithaca, New York. Says,
oh,
hoping you can evaluate.
Grounds.
Right? Yeah, Ithaca.
Up by Syracuse, sure.
Yeah, so he says, hoping you could evaluate my team and let me know how I did. It's in a 14-team PPR. Running backs get a point and a half per reception.
Ooh.
All right, so he's, got quarterbacks, Phillip Rivers, Josh McCown.
Not bad.
Running backs are Monte Ball, Le'Veon Bell, CJ Spiller, and Dexter McCluster.
14-team league, I love them.
Right. Wide receivers, Jordy Nelson, Keenan Allen, Michael Floyd, and Josh Gordon.
Stole him.
All right. And tight ends, he's got Clay and Travis Kelce.
I like Charles Clay. Travis Kelce, a little bit work in progress. I know he's had a good preseason, but, you know, he's moving up the rankings.
Yeah, not a bad bench.
Listen, running backs, if C.J. Spiller returns to his 2012 season and not his 2013 season, you'll probably have the best team in the league. Because I love Phillip Rivers. Everyone knows I love Monte Ball. Le'Veon Bell will be serviceable. He starts to flex. So he can either put C.J. Spiller or Michael Floyd in that flex spot. And if Josh Gordon comes back, who is his name?
Mike from Ithaca.
Yeah, Mike from Ithaca. If Mike gets Josh Gordon back 8 games or more, lock this one up for the championship.
Yeah, I love
this team. In a 14-team league?
It's unreal. In a 14-team league, yeah, even a 12-team league, this is a damn good team. But
yeah.
14 teams, man, he stole some of these players.
That's a good job there, Mike.
Yeah,
good job.
He closes at the bottom and says he's thinking about trading away Phillip Rivers for Tony Romo to break up that San Diego Rivers Keenan Allen. But
love that.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't trade away him for Tony Romo. You got great value there. So solid draft, definitely. You should be having a good year. All right, who do we got up next? Next up, we got AJ from Scotland.
Wow, we had an Ireland caller and now a Scottish emailer. Very impressive.
Australian emailer in the beginning, man. We're
internationally
from all over
known,
the globe, buddy.
I say it all the time. Locally respected, internationally known.
Damn right. All right, says, hey, Bill and Anthony, I've only recently discovered your show. This is my third season playing fantasy football, and I've won 4 out of 5 leagues over the past 2 years. I was wondering if I get a draft grade for my recent draft. 6th pick in a 10-team league, non-PPR. The quarterbacks in his league are getting 6 points per passing touchdown, though.
Matt Ryan, Phillip Rivers, I like them.
Yep.
Marshawn Lynch.
Rashad Jennings, CJ Spiller, Pierre Thomas.
I'm not crazy about his running backs. I would have to imagine that he passed up on some pretty good guys. It's only a 10-team league. Non-PPR.
Yeah.
He's got Marshawn Lynch, CJ Spiller, Pierre Thomas, and Rashad Jennings. I don't know. All right, so he took Dez Bryant, which is fine. And then he took Antonio Brown. Probably would not have taken him in a non-PPR. Same thing with Crabtree. I don't mind the T.Y. Hilton pick. Golden Tate should be a solid number 3. Another guy with Josh Gordon hopefully comes back in 8 games or more this year. That'd be great. Not crazy about this team. I'm
in the middle. I don't love it. I don't hate it. He's going to have good weeks when all these guys kind of connect. I mean, his wide receivers are solid in a PPR league, but
I'm trying to figure out his first 4 picks.
I'm going to say he probably went
Lynch, Bryant, Antonio Brown, Crabtree?
That'd be my guess, too.
Or Antonio Brown, Spiller?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, one of those combinations between Lynch, Bryant, Brown, Crabtree, and Spiller.
Right. Well, hey, listen, Spiller 2012, you have a good team. In 2013, not so much.
Yeah. You were saying a few minutes ago about you drafted C.J. Spiller in your league the other night, right?
Yeah,
you
I did, last night.
C.J. Spiller is the one guy I've always noticed in the last couple of years when you draft him. Nobody's ever happy about it. They feel like they need to take him because he's sitting there and he's value, but everyone always drafts him with that same C.J. Spiller. You know, no one ever gets excited about C.J. Spiller. Ever.
You're so right about that. And a couple years ago, 2 years ago in my Dynasty League, I traded a couple players to get him, and I won the championship because he had such a dominant season. Last year, he couldn't even break my starting lineup.
Yeah,
I started Zach Stacy and a couple other guys over CJ Spiller last year. This year, I still have Spiller. It's a dynasty league, and I drafted him as my third running back last night in a full point PPR league where I get a flex. Now, I don't know if I'm going to use him instead of one of my wide receivers in my flex, but I just know the potential's there with him, but I also know that it could just be a huge waste.
Yeah.
That's what we're getting from CJ Spiller this year.
Yeah, but you know what?
He's in a contract year. That should, you know, motivate him a little bit.
If that doesn't motivate him, nothing will.
Exactly.
If he's playing your bench for the most part, then yeah, you definitely got value. But if he's someone you have to rely on being in your lineup week to week, it's definitely a scary situation, I think.
Right. All right, so the draft grade from AJ from Scotland, I'm going to give this one a C+, B-.
Yeah, I was going to say a C, somewhere right in the middle there. Not in love with it, not hating it. Going to have some weeks where you win, going to have some weeks where you're going to be saying, I should have taken someone else over one of these receivers at running back. But
by the way, someone sent in an expert advice token at FF Champs, and they said, you only gave my team a B+. What could I have done differently to make it an A? And I had to think about that because, one, it was the first time anyone's ever, you know, kind of said, well, why wasn't this a team an A? Or, you know, what could I have done differently to make this team an A? So I almost had to think, okay, well, what is an A+ or an A team? And I think the answer is near impossible to actually achieve, okay? Because an A+ or an A team is like a dream team in fantasy football, in my opinion. If you want an A+, you have to have Peyton Manning, Demaryius Thomas, Dez Bryant, Calvin Johnson as your receivers, Eddie Lacy and Jamaal Charles as your running backs, or Jamaal Charles and LeSean McCoy. It's unfathomable to get all those players. So, you know, I always take them as the A+ team, and then I go down from there. So for me to give out a B+, I think that was pretty good. I don't know, just a little tangent that I just went on.
Yeah, no, I don't know. Having an A team is really tough to do, like you
said. Yeah, right.
Maybe in a keeper league where you're keeping guys for a late-round pick because you got lucky and, you know, Le'Veon Bell last year blew up and you picked up Monte Ball off the waiver wire. You have two good running backs to start and you can stack up. But even then, people are keeping those top-tier players anyway, so having an A team is real tough to do.
Yeah. All right, let's move on.
All right, let's move on. We got one coming in from Joe in Indy right now. He says, gentlemen, I am the guy from last week who picked Julio Jones over number 9. He's in the Jersey League. He got the jersey of Julio Jones. That's why he picked him number 9, right?
I like this Jersey League.
Right, this is good. So he said, I use my FF Champs draft tracker. Good plan.
Nice.
Some draft table psychouts and what an appendectomy does for mobility to assemble the following roster. Love it.
Some smoke screens. I love the smoke screens.
Looking for a draft grade and weaknesses I might need to address. So a 10-team PPR league. It's got Matt Ryan, Eddie Lacy, Monte Ball, Julio Jones, Keenan Allen, Shane Vereen in his flex, Jordan Reed at his tight end, Jets defense. I love under kicker. He just puts who cares.
Yeah.
Phil Dawson.
Nice.
Great. And his bench is solid, too. Julian Edelman, Emmanuel Sanders, Colin Kaepernick, Brandon Cooks, Fred Jackson, Bernard Pierce, Reuben Randall.
Solid, really, really solid team. I was worried about him saying he wanted to take Julio Jones over, I think, who was it, Dez and Demaryius, because he wanted the jersey.
Right.
But he still did a good job. Eddie Lacy and Monte Ball, that's incredible. Plus Julio Jones, how did that happen?
Plus Keenan Allen, plus Shane Vereen. He's got Emmanuel Sanders and Julian Edelman on his bench in a PPR league.
Yeah, this is one of those B+, A- teams.
It's as close as you're going to get to an A with a team like that. That's another team that you should have some good weeks, and you should be in that championship game, no doubt about it.
Yeah, good team.
Let's see. Got one coming in from Nick here. He says, hey, Bill, Anthony, and Kevin. Major draft tonight. 12-team PPR. Please rank the following three wide receivers for my wide receiver 2 position. Julian Edelman, Larry Fitzgerald, and Michael Floyd.
Julian Edelman, Larry Fitzgerald, Michael Floyd?
Yes.
Is Larry Fitz one of them?
Yeah, it was Fitz, Michael Floyd, Julian Edelman.
Fitz and Floyd are on the same team.
Yeah.
Oh, he's drafting. He doesn't know who to take.
Right, right. That's what I'm saying. He's looking who to pick for his number two wide receiver. He just wants to rank them 1 through 3.
Well, I think he can get Floyd and Edelman, actually.
I think so, too. I really do. You should be able to pick up two of these guys. I mean, yeah. Michael Floyd would be my first pickup, then Edelman, then Larry Fitzgerald if he's sitting there late enough for me.
Yep, I agree with that.
So,
All right, let's get to some more emails. Webradio@patriots.com. You can give us a call, 855-728-7500. Again, no show on Thursday. You have a last-minute fantasy draft question. Now's the time to get it in. And, of course, we're answering your questions on Twitter, at FFChamps, at Bill Enright, at the PPR Monster, for those of you that are listening on demand or via the Patriots mobile app. So, Anthony, I'm sorry to interrupt, but let's continue with the emails.
That's okay. Let's get to it. Got a lot. They keep coming, man. That's crazy. I got a lot of – it's going to be a lot of these, can you grade my team? A lot of people had their drafts over the weekend, it seems like. So we got one from Jagan. PPR
Oh, yeah, my man Jagan. Now, all right, I have to make a little bit of a mention here. Because remember last week, Jag called in and he had like 9 teams. Last year he was in 13 leagues. This year he's in 9.
Yes, I do.
All right, we got to set a cap here. Because he said please grade my team for all 9 of his teams. So I think I'm going to put him on a cap. 2 questions per episode. Is that fair?
I think that's fair.
Now, he's a member at FFChamps.com. He has the ability to ask expert advice. Use one of his expert advice tokens and get my opinion on this anyway. So if he wants to send in all 9 of his draft, grade my teams for all 9 of his drafts, that's a little bit out of control. I don't think that's right to the rest of our audience members. Jag's a good guy. That being said, 2 questions per episode. And that goes for everybody. I'm not just saying it for him.
Oh, yeah, no, we got to make it fair. Everybody's got questions.
Yeah,
everybody's got questions.
That's fair. Yeah.
So, all right, let's get to this team, see what we can do for all him. Right. It's PPR League. It's got Matt Stafford, Rashad Jennings, Danny Woodhead, Shane Vereen, Alfred Morris, picked up James White, A.J. Green, Julio Jones, Kendall Wright, Terrence Williams, Reuben Randall, John Brown from the Cardinals, Harry Douglas, Charles Clay, and Tulilo Levine, my man from the Atlanta. You know. So what are you thinking, Bill? How do you feel about this team?
Solid team. Love Stafford and the wide receivers. Any team that has A.J. Green and Julio Jones on it, I like the upside.
Yes.
He needs some help at running back, I think. Woodhead, Vereen are great in PPR, but Alfred Morris and James White seem to be like his only backups there. So
Rashad Jennings as well.
Oh, Rashad Jennings as well. Okay.
So, yeah, that wide receiver core is definitely solid. Matt Stafford, solid quarterback. In a PPR league, Woodhead and Vereen definitely could do a lot worse than that, so I can't hate on that totally.
No, I'm not necessarily hating on it, but I would like to see it's different because you took A.J. Green and Julio. You know what I mean? I would like to see that running back one on this team, and he's just not there.
Yeah, I know what you mean, but... Some people do the wide receiver approach. I'm guilty of that as well. I'll go over what I did in my draft later on in the show, and you can let me know what you think about that. So, all right, let's move on. I got Jeff coming next. He says, "What's up, guys? Keep up the good work. Loving the show. Tough question since I don't have my draft slot yet. It's going to be a 12-team non-PPR keeper league. My keepers are DeMarco Murray in the 10th round and Jimmy Graham in the 11th.
Ooh.
Nice value for Jimmy Graham.
Yeah, that's great. Even DeMarco Murray, good value.
Definitely. All right, so with these guys already on my squad, I'm thinking of jumping on a quarterback a little earlier than normal. I know you always preach wait on the quarterback, and there will be some top-tier guys still available at the running back wide receiver positions to build depth. But I'm thinking of jumping on a guy like Luck or Stafford in the 2nd to 4th round. Might make sense, as I want to make as many difference makers on my team as possible with keepers like Graham and Murray in the bag.
Don't mind Stafford. Don't mind Stafford in the 4th. Do not like either one of them in the 2nd, and I don't like Luck in the 4th either.
Yes.
I'd go Stafford in the 4th. That's fine, because by that time you'll probably add a receiver or two along with a running back. And since other people are keeping running backs, you don't know, how many people are maybe he does know, but we don't know how many other people are keeping running backs. They're going to fly off the board in a keeper league like this. So if you take a quarterback in the 2nd round, that could come back to bite you in the butt.
Yeah, second round is definitely too early, still even a keeper league. But yeah, Stafford in that fourth round would be a very nice piece because you're going to get two good wide receivers or another good running back to pair with DeMarco. I mean, Jimmy Graham, you got a first and second round talent on your team already. So
right.
You're definitely starting off sitting pretty. If you get Matt Stafford in the fourth round to pair with a couple more wide receivers or running backs, that's a very, very solid team to start off.
There you go. Whoop, there it is.
There it is. Tag team. All right,
let's take a break from the emails and go to Mike in Tampa. He's next on the line, 855-728-7500. What's up, Mike?
Hey, guys. Appreciate your time.
Absolutely, man. Appreciate you making the call.
So I'm drafting 10th tomorrow in a 12-team standard league. It's non-PPR league. Quarterback touchdowns are – all the touchdowns are sort of weighted based on distance. They're 4, 5, or 6. But they're the same for quarterbacks as they are for the other positions. So I'm questioning a little bit, what this does to how I rate these guys. I sort of feel like at 10, if either of the first three QBs are there, I'm thinking I would want them. I'm interested on your feedback, but I think I'm not really expecting it. So my question is sort of, do I do it when it comes right back to me at 14 or 15 or whatever that is, or do I wait a couple more rounds at that point?
All right, so let's just understand this here. So let's say it's a 35-yard passing touchdown. That equates to what?
Essentially, any player who scores a touchdown, whether a quarterback threw it, ran it, whether a receiver caught it or a running back ran it, anything under 10 yards is 4 points.
Okay.
10 to 49 is 5, and then 50 and more are worth 6.
All right, so you have to imagine that most quarterbacks will be in that 5-point touchdown range. For the most part. Their average quarterback is going to throw a lot of those 5-point touchdowns.
Actually, let me tell you this, guys, if this helps put it into perspective. Last year, if you look at the top quarterbacks from last year, and granted, I guess you could, Peyton was a little bit of an anomaly, but the high quarterbacks scored in like the low to mid 300s on the season, where the highest running backs and wide receivers were at 130, 140, 150. So it's a QB-heavy league.
That's fine because 12 teams, there's 12 good quarterbacks. So just because I say this a lot, the point value is raised for all the quarterbacks, not just the top three. And yeah, you're only in a 12-team league, so it's not a bad idea.
I'm sorry, there are 12 good quarterbacks, but there are two or three really great ones. So if Peyton had 360 last year, the third quarterback I think had 260. I mean, there's
all right. And what did the fifth running back have compared to the 25th running back?
Probably 100 versus 140.
Only a 40-point difference? And you're saying there was a 100-point difference in the quarterback?
Yes.
Really?
Touchdowns are a big deal, and running backs get combined yardage. So, I mean, I'm going off the top of my head, but it's something like that. It's not like 140 to 60 or 80, if that's what you were thinking. I mean, maybe it's 140 to 90.
I don't know. In my experience and in all the research I've done, it always makes sense to go after a running back early because you're in a league where Tony Romo is only going to have 3 or 4 less points than maybe a guy like Drew Brees. Again, last year, Peyton Manning, an anomaly, set records for both passing yards and passing touchdowns. I don't think that happens again. Does he get to 45 and 4,500? Sure, probably. But Tony Romo might have 45 and 15 less touchdowns, and you're telling me that that's going to be a 150 or 100-point difference? I'm not buying it. I'm not going to take a quarterback in the first round. It's something that I don't believe in, and I just don't suggest doing it.
Okay. So you would stick to basically how you guys typically have them rated. There's nothing about that scoring that fundamentally changes it for you.
Did the team with Peyton win last year?
Yes.
Who do they have?
It was actually me. I drafted 12th last year, and I took Peyton and Calvin in the first and second round, hence my team name, Peyton's Johnson.
I like that. Who were your running backs?
Reggie Bush and Noshon Moreno, both of whom I got late. And I ended
all right,
up
I'll,
with,
t- yeah, I'll, go ahead. I'll tell you what. Use your strategy again this year. You're the champ. You're the reigning champ in your league.
Time out.
Use your strategy again this year. Get lucky with Noshon Moreno and Reggie Bush again. Because those were those were absolute. No, Sean Moreno was, other than Josh Gordon, no, Sean Moreno was the biggest steal of the fantasy football drafts in every format last year. Find that running back again this year, and then you'll be fine with Peyton Manning.
I'm not suggesting I did that on skill. I mean, I got lucky with Peyton Manning last year as well. I mean,
No. I'm saying that's the only way that strategy works is if you bang on that number five overall running back in the what'd you get him in the 12th round, though, Sean Moreno?
Yeah, I mean, I don't remember. Yeah, it was late.
That doesn't happen. That's like a fluke. I got Josh Gordon last year in the 9th round. He was the number one wide receiver. I was expecting him to be my number wide receiver 3, and I would have been fine with that. So I'm saying, yes, the strategy worked last year where you took Peyton Manning in the first round, but you got incredibly lucky by getting No'Shawn Moreno, probably a top 5 or top 6 running back in your league, in the 12th round. That value doesn't come every year.
And your point being, it's easier to get a quarterback later than a running back later.
There you go.
All right.
There you go, Mike. See, in just that 5-minute phone call, we finally got on the same page.
You fixed it. You fixed me. Thank you.
All right, buddy. Sometimes I got to yell to make my point.
That's okay. That's different, though, awarding touchdown points based on how far that is. That's different. I kind of like that. That's something. You get rewarded for doing something more. If you get a 1-yard touchdown, you get a few points.
So after all that yelling, I feel like poor Anthony was like, you know, the child stuck in the corner crying while mommy
like
and daddy
the car
was,
when your
yeah, while mommy and
front.
Daddy are just screaming at each other. And
well,
poor Anthony's
I mean, listen,
there in the corner
no
crying.
One's going to call into the show and try to make me say anything other than what I've been saying all year, and that is I do not draft quarterbacks early. If you're in a two-team league, two-quarterback league, if you're in a league where a quarterback gets points for every completion, that's a different story. But if you're telling me that every quarterback is the same amount of points for a 4-point touchdown or, you know, a 40-yard touchdown or a 90-yard touchdown, it doesn't make a difference to me. If anything, Matthew Stafford is going to have more long-distance TDs than Peyton Manning will. Probably
are you talking
Aaron Rodgers,
about Willis?
Probably Aaron Rodgers and probably Drew Brees, too. I bet Peyton Manning, of those 4 quarterbacks, he has the least amount of those 6-point touchdown, whatever he had that in that league, 60 or more. Yeah. I bet Andy Dalton has more than that. Peyton Manning's not throwing a deep ball anymore. He drives down the field, he kills the clock, and he does it in a very efficient manner. Sometimes Demaryius Thomas breaks one off. Sometimes Emmanuel Sanders will do that this year. But other than that, it's going to be 30 or less touchdown, or 30 yards or less when it comes to Peyton Manning touchdowns. That's just the way it is. Tupac said it best.
Which was?
That's just the way it is.
That's just the way it is.
Things will never be the same. Let's go down to DJ. Let's go down to Miami and DJ. Yo, DJ, pump this party. What's up?
What's happening, guys? Thanks for taking the call. I wanted to get your thoughts on my team that I drafted. My league manager refused to do it after the 3rd preseason game. And on top of that, it went from a 10-team league to a 12-team league 6 hours before the draft.
I would have boycotted that draft.
Seriously, but I already gave him my
How team, long you been so. In the, how long you been in the league?
It was his first time doing a league, so you know.
Is he your friend? Is he your brother-in-law? Is he a coworker?
Oh yeah, he's a good friend. But I'm only in 2 leagues this year, so I didn't want to lose one of my leagues.
Anthony, are you a commissioner in any leagues?
I commission my major league. I do.
Are you like a power hungry crazy dictator?
I don't think so. I mean, like, I put everything up for a vote. I'll say, look, how do you feel about this?
Okay,
I'll text everybody. If everybody's at my house on a Sunday watching a game,
right,
I'll say,
right,
what about this? Majority rules. The only thing I might kind of dictate is the trades, but I will only reject a trade if it's very unfair. Other than that, look, your team, do what you want with it. I don't like the voting for trades because half the people don't go online and vote, and
right.
then stupid things happen. So other than me just saying, I'm in charge of the trades. If it's stupid, it's not going through. Other
right.
than that, we vote on everything. It's the most fair way to do it.
I'm with you here. I am a commissioner of a couple leagues, and I'm the same way. Everything goes to a vote except trades. I always accept trades because we've been in the league so long that I don't think anyone's trying to cheat.
Right.
So all trades go through. They always usually help out both teams. My point in asking this is I've been doing this for 4 or 5 years now on fantasy radio. And every so often there comes up a situation like DJ's where the commissioner just gets power hungry, decides to do whatever he wants, ruins the time for the league, This guy went from having a 10-team league to a 12-team league. That totally changes around strategy. I wouldn't put up with it, DJ. I think you should have protested.
I'll protest by winning.
There
you
okay.
go. That's it, right, man. That's all you can do.
All right, so what's your question?
So my team is, I have Matt Ryan at quarterback, which I'm not super happy about, but I waited till the, I actually got him in the 9th round. So, I mean, I guess it's good value.
And
I have Adrian Peterson and Frank Gore in the running back position, Jordy Nelson and Keenan Allen in the wide receiver, Roddy White in the flex, Jason Witten in the tight end, and Patriots defense. How does that sound to you?
You said a standard league, right?
Yeah.
I think that's a solid team. 12-team standard?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I picked up Timothy Wright off the waiver wire this morning. How do you feel about him? Because you know,
who'd you drop for him?
Brandon LaFell.
Oh, that's fine.
Yeah,
you're a bit of a homer, but that's okay.
Yeah, I like the team. I mean, AP obviously in a standard league is good. Same thing with Frank Gore. Jordy Nelson and Keenan Allen are going to get yards and touchdowns.
Yeah.
Roddy White comes back to form, same thing. You got a very, very solid team, definitely. I like it, especially going into it almost blind in a 12-team league when you're preparing for 10.
Yeah, DJ, job well done.
Thanks, man. And I also wanted to know, how do you guys feel about, I know you have Emmanuel Sanders ranked like 2 whole tiers, maybe even 3 whole tiers, below Keenan Allen. For whatever reason, I'm like nervous about Keenan Allen as a wide receiver too, and I really like Emmanuel Sanders.
What ranking are you looking at? What scoring system are you looking at?
Just a standard scoring system, non-PPR.
Yeah, we have Keenan Allen. Well, it's only a 12-point difference between the two of them. I mean, we have Keenan Allen at 14, Emmanuel Sanders at 20. In a non-PPR.
Yeah, so they're right there. That's less than a point a week. So don't beat yourself
like,
up.
Some people panic. Not necessarily panic, but some people just get a little upset when the rankings come out. Like I wish I could rank everyone 13. I wish I could have 5 people at 13. But unfortunately, only one person can fill that spot, and everyone else falls in line after him. So would I take a guy like Keenan Allen over or Emmanuel Sanders? Yeah, but I wouldn't go crazy over it if I didn't get Keenan Allen and I ended up with Emmanuel Sanders. I think you can get both of them on your team. Based on Keenan Allen's average draft position, it's late 3rd round. Emmanuel Sanders is starting to go in the late 4th round, early 5th. You can potentially get both of them. So I wouldn't go crazy just because they're separated by a few tiers in there.
Okay, so I was just wondering, like, I didn't know if you had updated the ranking since Welker got his little concussion or if he was going to, you know, go up past Keenan Allen or what.
Was that a question or more of a statement?
No, not really. I don't know. I'm really hot on Emmanuel Sanders. I think he's going to have a breakout year. I think he's going to be like Antonio Brown last year.
Well, when's the last time you looked at the site?
About an hour ago.
Well,
I said, he's about like 8. He's like 8 wide receivers below Keenan Allen.
You might need to check again there, pal.
Yeah, right now he's only two spots away right now. I just printed one out a few minutes ago, so he's close.
Yeah,
but again, it's one of those things. Allen's the number one in that system, and Emmanuel Sanders is the 2. So obviously Peyton Manning is looking for him after Demaryius and probably after Julius Thomas, where Phillip Rivers is looking for Keenan Allen basically first on every play. But like Bill said, you can't go wrong with either one. Being separated by less than a point a week, I mean, if they're both sitting there and you really feel strongly about Emmanuel Sanders, we're not going to yell at you for taking him. He's a solid talent. So it's your team, man. If it's close, use the rankings and the tiers as best you can. But if it's that close, less than a point a week, take who you think is going to be better for you.
It's 10 points in a PPR. It's 2 points in a non-PPR.
There you go.
All right, cool. Yes, you guys have gotten me to the Super Bowl 2 years in a row. I haven't won yet, but you got me there 2 years in a row, so I appreciate it, guys.
All right, DJ. Best of luck to you this year. 2 years in a row, that's like, you know, you lose one more, then you're the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, 3 in a row, he said. So if he loses this year, he will be the Buffalo Bills.
Oh, that's terrible.
That's sad to see. It is.
All right, what do you say we take a quick break? We got a lot more emails to get to. I also want to do our moving up and moving down, a little stock up, stock down report on our cheat sheet, but I don't know if my computer's going to recover from these emails.
They just keep coming, man.
We have 34 unopened emails.
Oh, my God. They keep coming.
They're all from Kevin Collins.
They are. He's a guy's annoying.
Word up. Kevin, when is your email? When is your... I'm sorry. When is your draft?
They're next week.
Tuesday and Thursday or Tuesday and Wednesday?
Tuesday, Wednesday.
Because I wanted to today, I wanted to reserve like 10 or 15 minutes.
Well, can we do that on Tuesday at the end of the show?
Well, that's what I was going to say.
Yeah, that's what I figured the smart play is. Yeah.
Because, yeah, you know, listen.
You already helped me immensely last week. I had to submit my keepers. Remember that?
I know you put up with us all year, so I figured the best thing I can do is
yeah, and just like Jag, I'm limited to two questions a show.
Well, next week we can have our own little Kevin Collins segment right
like
here on Fantasy Football.
I like it.
But for now, we have to take a break.
Some hot trade ideas.
Yeah. We got to take a quick break, more emails, more phone calls, more strategy advice coming up next right here, Patriots.com Radio.
We're NRG, and we're a new kind of energy company, one that's hard at work making the most of renewable sources of energy, one whose solar energy is helping power football stadiums across the country, one that's developing new technologies that can one day turn your home into its own source of power and put you in charge of how you use it. We're putting that power in your hands. NRG, the power to change life.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved, with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or Tri-Corner Hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie. Three Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, and much more, including Pro Shop exclusives and sideline gear from Adidas, Nike, and New Era. The Pro Shop is located next to Gillette Stadium and is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop, your team, your store.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday, but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com and multiple fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to life. Now available for $3.99. At a Microsoft store near you.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Having trouble setting your draft order for the 2014 season? Give Bill and Anthony a call at 855-PATS-500 to see where you should draft your favorite stud. Now, back to the Fantasy Football Champs.
Go. All right, welcome back, Fantasy Football Champs. About 40 minutes left. One of the last shows, actually the last show we have in August, so only basically a half a show left to discuss draft strategy. That's next Tuesday. And then it's going to be a hybrid show, folks. It's going to be a lot of week one stuff, a lot of strategy, a lot of advice. We're going to go through the differences between daily and daily fantasy football and redraft leagues, but it's going to be a lot of looking at matchups. And week one's always tough, Ant.
Yeah,
It's just not a smooth transition from preseason to in-season in terms of fantasy.
Exactly. Yeah, you got the offenses. They're not doing, you know, they still got to connect a little bit because the first team's not playing a lot. Defenses are actually going to start showing something in the regular season.
Right.
They're pretty vanilla in the preseason. So, you know, the first week, in a, you know, week, 2 weeks, maybe into the third week is going to, it's going to be a little bit different. You get some guys in your leagues that get wins, and you're like, how the hell did this happen? Well, you know, some players will just blow up because their defense is not playing as well that they're playing against. But don't panic. Stick to the tiers. Stick to the draft system we got. You will prevail in the end.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty much that easy. But
it's definitely.
It's definitely that easy.
It's definitely that easy, trust me.
The main thing is that our rankings at FFChamps.com, I don't know if I'm going to release them next week or wait until after week one ends.
You say FFCPI?
Yeah, the FFCPI. See, in the past, we only used to do it after week one was over.
Right.
But the last couple of years, I've been doing it before week one, just so people can, you know, look at the rankings and figure out who to play. In my opinion, you play the obvious guys. Like, there's no reason to get cute in week one.
No.
That being said, there's so many people that ask me, it's so annoying, where are the rankings? Where are the rankings? Where are the rankings? Where are the rankings? So I just put out, you know, I just put out the rankings. But I don't like doing that because I go off of what I see on the field, what I see defenses doing, you know, who's better against the run this year, who's better against the pass this year. If I do my preseason week one rankings, or excuse me, my week one rankings, I'm just going off of last year's stats. I'm going to take every defensive category and rank them off of what they finished in last year. And that's not as accurate as it really should be.
No, that's all you can do.
Week two gets much more accurate. Week three, week four, and then by the time week four rolls around, I am in sync. Rolling, you know, cruise control on the freeway.
Yeah, ready to go after that. You've seen enough stuff. You know who's doing what, who's going to be good on defense, who's going to be good on offense, blah, blah, blah. It's all good. But listen, we got a week to think about it. If we're not going to put them out, then we'll let everybody know by next Tuesday what the situation is. So you got to have to tune in next week to find out what we're going to do.
All right, let's get to who's moving up and who's moving down our cheat sheet. I feel like this is a pretty important segment, only because I know a lot of people are still drafting. Based on that, what qualifies as someone moving up or moving down, it could be something as little as a concussion, or not as little as a concussion, I'm sorry. It could be as something as little as a slight toe sprain, or as something as serious as an ACL tear. So a lot of different things go into who's moving up and who's moving down the depth chart, moving up and moving down the cheat sheet, and also how did the third preseason games look? You know, a lot of these guys were in action. we got to see them the most out of any preseason game in this third pass one. So that also factors into who's moving up and who's moving down.
Definitely does. Always does. The eyeball test. The eyeball test is the best thing you can do. Watch, see what they're doing. If they're not looking good on the field, you know, your eyes aren't going to lie to you. If they don't look good, they don't look good. That's the bottom line.
All right, let's start off with the quarterbacks. Moving up our cheat sheet, and again, you can get a customized rankings, ffchamps.com/Pats for the free membership. Quarterbacks moving up, Matthew Stafford and Matt Ryan, Tom Brady and Tony Romo. All four of those guys are now inside the top 10.
Yeah, as well they should be. Tony Romo, again, coming off that back surgery, he's looked pretty good in the preseason. No setbacks or anything with that surgery, so that's good. Tom Brady's got a full arsenal again heading into this year. If they stay healthy, that guy's going to be a top five quarterback by the end of the year, more than likely. We know Stafford likes to throw the ball, so same thing with Matt Ryan. If Julio Jones and Roddy White stay healthy, another guy who just has so many options to throw to.
You might have seen a dominant preseason performance from Russell Wilson. He's moving up our cheat sheet as well. So is Big Ben Roethlisberger, Ryan Tannehill, Sean Hill, and Brian Hoyer. But Russell Wilson really made a big jump here just because he looked really good in the preseason.
Man, he looks like he's out for blood again. He's one Super Bowl's not enough for that guy,
team
apparently.
Does, doesn't it?
Man, they look great.
It's crazy.
I don't know what Pete Carroll's doing up there. I don't know what he's feeding them, but those guys look red. It's like they didn't even win last year. You would have thought they went 0-16 just the way they've been playing in the preseason. You would have no idea if you didn't watch any football. So those Seahawks, man, they're a fun team to watch. And when they're at home, that Thursday game next week with Green Bay, that is going to be fun to watch because that stadium is always rocking. So coming off that Super Bowl, getting into the new season, Packers in town.
There you go.
Cannot wait, man.
On probably the Lombardi Trophy ceremony.
They're gonna have to do that. So they're gonna that team's gonna go nuts. That crowd's gonna go nuts. Another earthquake, maybe. I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, but I'll be taking the Seahawks in that game.
Yeah, you have to.
All right. So that's our quarterbacks moving up. How about the quarterbacks moving down? Andrew Luck. You know, he just looks shaky behind that really poor offensive line.
Yeah, that line is so bad in Indianapolis. If they got a solid line. If they cheated for Logan Mankins, I'd be a lot more impressed. That would make that team. They could make a run at the Super Bowl. I mean, with that offense at that point. But Andrew Luck's line is so bad.
Yeah. So anyway, I had to move him down because of that.
Yeah, definitely.
Just a couple spots.
We got one, two slots. He slipped down. Not too bad. Still draft him with confidence. He's still going to throw the ball. He's still going to get you those rushing touchdowns and rushing yards. He's a sneaky little runner, so he's going to get you points. Don't panic too much.
Cam Newton has the fractured rib. I had to move him down a little bit.
Yeah, anytime an injury comes, we got to slip him down just a touch. So don't worry about Cam Newton. Again, draft him. If you get him late, you get him in 7th, 8th, 9th round. It's just value, so don't worry about it.
Eli Manning, Jake Locker, EJ Manuel, Matt Schaub dealing with elbow soreness, and Mike Vick, who was not named the Jets starter for week one, are also moving down our quarterback cheat sheet.
Yeah, no surprises on any of those guys. Eli just doesn't seem to be grasping that new offense.
Yeah. But,
you know, Jake Locker, EJ Manuel, Matt Schaub, Mike Vick. Nothing really to say. Don't even draft them as backups. Not
running
worth
backs.
It.
Running backs moving up. Eddie Lacy from the Green Bay Packers. He's our number 5th overall running back.
Eddie Lacy's great. We said earlier in the show, he touches the ball just as much as anybody can at a running back position. So if you like a running back that's going to get 300 carries and pound, and that guy runs like he is on a mission. When you watch that guy run, he runs with such ferocity. Oh, man. No one's going to stop him getting in the end zone. So Eddie Lacy, great, great player.
Are you taking non-PPR? You're taking him at 5, right?
Eddie Lacy?
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. There's not even a question in my mind.
Yeah, I meant to say our 5th overall running back.
I got you. Don't worry.
Yeah. I think that's the pick there. You're at number 5. You're in a non-PPR league. You're going Lacy.
I was number 5 in my PPR draft this past weekend, and Eddie Lacy was sitting there, and it was hard for me to pass him up at that point. But
you did.
Yeah, I went to Marius Thomas with my first pick.
PPR.
PPR.
Yeah, I did the same thing last night. Who'd you get in the second?
I went to Marius Thomas, Antonio Brown. I know.
What I was thinking of doing, too.
I went that, but I lucked out. I got Doug Martin in the 3rd and my man Alfred Morris in the 4th. So I feel like that's still 2 solid starting running backs in the 3rd and 4th round. And Doug Martin, the next guy on our running back going up the board, they got Logan Mankins. They just solidified the offensive line a little bit. Charles Sims going down. I mean, Doug Martin could be another one of those guys like Eddie Lacy, who's just a workhorse, getting touch after touch after touch, and he can catch the ball in the backfield. So,
Doug Martin. And we know Lovie Smith loves to pound the rock.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's the school he comes from. Big defense, big running back who can take a lot of work and count on that. So, I think that's what he's going to do.
DeMarco Murray, Bishop Sankey, two rookies here, Bishop Sankey and Jeremy Hill moving up. And then how about Kerry Robinson for the New Orleans Saints? He's getting overlooked this preseason. Mark Ingram's getting a lot of publicity. I've never been a big fan of his the last few years while he's within New Orleans because he's always getting hurt. He's always losing reps to Darren Sproles or Pierre Thomas over the years. Kerry Robinson still moving up the cheat sheet. So is Noshon Moreno, who, I'll tell you, every time I think he's done, he pops back up onto the radar and looks pretty good.
Yeah, I don't know. Noshon just kind of, I don't get a good vibe from him this year. I mean, he should be moving up a little bit with what he's doing right now, but I don't know about him. I'm kind of avoiding him when I'm drafting. But, you know, if you're sitting there late in the draft, why not take a chance? Miami brought him in to be the guy, so if he gets to the point where he is, you know, that's what he's going to be. So if you get him late, again, another guy who you might be very, very happy with.
San Francisco 49ers rookie running back Carlos Hyde is also moving up the running back cheat sheet. Moving down, how about Pittsburgh Steelers pothead Le'Veon Bell? St. Louis Rams running back Zach Stacy, really only because of the Sam Bradford injury. New York Giants running back Rashad Jennings. Bernard Pierce suffered concussion in the third preseason game from the Ravens. I got him moving down. I got Lamar Miller moving down because I got Moreno moving up. Stephen Ridley, what did you guys think of the report yesterday? I think it was Mike Reese from ESPN Boston saying that he doesn't think Ridley's going to make the Patriots 53-man roster.
I think that would be a shock, to be honest with you. I mean, Shane Vereen's good, but you can't count on his health. And James White, again, look good, but he's a rookie. I mean, them dropping Stephen Ridley would be very interesting to see who picks him up and what that does for their said running back in that system at the time.
It might actually help Stephen Ridley's fantasy stock if the Patriots were to cut him.
Yeah, depending on where he goes.
On where he goes, right.
Yeah.
Kevin, what did you see that report? Are you around? Or are you not there anymore?
Say what?
Kevin, did you see Mike Reese's report about Stephen Ridley not making the 53-man roster?
That has been pontificated by several of the writers up here.
And what were they saying about it?
No, I mean, they're predicting the same thing, that he won't make the roster.
Oh, well, what are the PFW guys saying?
I think the majority of the writers for PFW, the four guys that I work closely with, think that he will sort of by default. There's really not another guy that
that's
has his
Anthony
running.
Just said, yeah.
So I think that's the kind of the camp that I'm in as well. Because Vereen's your Kevin Faulk, Danny Woodhead, your third down back, your pass catcher. But other than Ridley, you don't really have that, I'll say, bell cow guy to run between the tackles and, you know, try to grind out 4 yards a carry. Not that he can even do that. We don't know. But he certainly, when he holds onto the football, has run well.
That's just the main thing, man. He just fumbles.
Yeah, I wouldn't consider him a jag by any, you know, by any stretch. It's just, you know, he doesn't play a lot because he can't hold on to the ball. But right. when he has played, the games that he's finished out, you know, he looks pretty good. He's got a little bit of burst. He's definitely not going to run away from many people, but he can definitely take a 4 yard gain and make it a 40 yard gain if he has to.
See, I loved Ridley. What was it, 2 years ago when he had 1,200 yards, double digit touchdowns?
Yep.
And then he just fell off last year.
Yeah, I mean, the reason he fell off, though, Bill, it wasn't that he was, you know, getting stacked up behind the line of scrimmage or anything. He just wasn't playing. You know, I mean,
well, that's what I'm saying.
So his numbers and his lack of productivity, you know, are a direct cause of playing time, not really performance, like other than the fumbling issue.
Well, I mean, that's right.
Because some guys, as they sort of lose it, you know, remember when, you know, like Chris Johnson, CJ Noke, and we went through that whole thing and we were making fun of him.
Yeah.
And like he was a guy who wasn't necessarily fumbling every play like Ridley, but he just like, you know, he wasn't getting loose and he was taking 3, 4, 5 yard losses, you know, half a dozen times a game, which were killing his numbers. And so it hasn't been a case of that for Ridley, which is, I guess, if you're trying to look on the positive side, I think he understands where they want him to go, and I think he understands the playbook. And I think honestly he runs really hard, and that might be part of his issue. You know, refusing to go down and getting twisted up and just barely, you know, keeping his knees off the ground and getting the ball punched out at the last second has been an issue for him.
Right.
Similar to the way kind of Gronk has become injury prone. He's another guy that refuses to go down. It's like sometimes it's okay to get tackled, you know. It's not the end of the world to get tackled.
Marvin Harrison used to be the best at that.
Yeah, kind of preserving, self-preservation, you know. And I think self-preservation at times can lead to ball security too.
It's tough when you're a guy like Gronk size to kind of go down.
Yeah, I mean, when you have that mentality that you're going to run through everybody and that you'd rather carry three guys on your back into the end zone, you know, I mean, that's it all depends on the way you're wired, you know. But I think Ridley's more wired like Gronk, where he just doesn't want to go down at all.
Yeah.
And I think that you see him, a lot of his fumbles have come in sort of between the tackles when he's like just barely
surrounded by,
when he's just barely still up, I guess is the word you want to use.
Yep.
And a lot of them are like really borderline, you know, was his knee down, was it not? And you're looking at the jumbo thinking, oh, I hope his knee's down. There are a lot of those where he's, you know, literally 6 inches from being down, and the ball gets punched out. And I think you're so focused on driving those legs and trying to keep, you know, the pile moving, and you're not, you know, maybe your mind isn't focused on the ball.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just kind of my two cents on his issues. It's not like he's kind of out there on like a toss sweep and just like, you know, holding it like a loaf of bread and it comes free, you know?
Anthony, if Ridley does get caught or he doesn't make the 53 man roster, do you really, you know, does Shane Vereen just skyrocket?
Doesn't he have to?
I don't know, man.
Look, Bill Belichick.
How much higher can he really get?
Bill Belichick, man. Well, if he goes out with Le'Veon Bell, he might. But listen, Bill Belichick, we all know what he does, man. He's going to rotate.
That was pretty good, actually.
Yeah, see what I did there? All right. So listen, Bill Belichick, man, that guy just, you can't trust him with running backs. He's almost like Mike Shanahan, where a guy's going to get a hot hand and he's going to bring somebody else in because of something. James White will definitely move up, but Shane Vereen, I mean, where we got him at number 20 in a non-PPR league, which is pretty high for someone who's very reliant on catching the ball out of the backfield.
Right.
But, you know, if they drop Ridley, I think the more interesting thing is, where does he go? There's not a lot of teams that need a number one, but it's going to be interesting to see where he goes and what kind of impact that has on everybody else on that team.
Yeah. A couple more guys, running backs that are moving down. Terrence West of the Cleveland Browns. He hasn't really gotten any reps with the first team in that third preseason game, which I was expecting. And Steven Jackson. I don't care that he's back in practice. This guy will forever be moving down my rankings.
Yeah.
Wide receivers that are moving up. How about Julio Jones looking dynamite in the preseason action? Keenan Allen of the Chargers. Emmanuel Sanders of the Denver Broncos, especially with the Wes Walker concussion issue. I don't know why people are getting me on where I have Sanders ranked. He was one of the first to start the year. He was one of the first players I brought up. I said, I will have Emmanuel Sanders on every single one of my teams. I don't care how high his ADP is moving. I will grab him a round or two earlier if I have to reach for him. Michael Floyd of the Arizona Cardinals, Michael Crabtree of the Niners, Kendall Wright, PPR machine, and Justin Hunter. Now listen. These two Tennessee Titan receivers, the only thing holding these guys back is Jake Locker. It's a shame that their talent is going to go to waste with that quarterback. I think Ken Wesenhunt is going to do a phenomenal job with this offense, but Kendall Wright and Justin Hunter are immense talents that are just dealing with a crappy quarterback situation right now in Tennessee. That's the only thing really holding them back. That being said, I still have them in my top 40.
Yeah, if they had a better quarterback, they'd be a lot more fun to watch. They'd be going up draft boards a lot higher. But you know what? For people who wait out a little bit later, especially on a wide receiver and in a PPR league, works for me. I'll take 95 catches and 1,000, 1,200 yards. Why not? I mean, they're not going to get in the end zone very frequently, especially Kendall Wright. Obviously, he doesn't get in there too much. But, you know, 100 catches, 1,200 yards, why not take a chance on him in the middle rounds? He's going to put up points.
There you go. Brandon Cooks, rookie wide receiver from the Saints, has looked very explosive this preseason. DeAndre Hopkins from the Houston Texans, Kelvin Benjamin of the Panthers, and Jordan Matthews from the Philadelphia Eagles. All right, so I just named three rookie wide receivers, Ant. Brandon Cooks, Kelvin Benjamin, Jordan Matthews. Who do you like the best?
Brandon Cooks.
Cooks the best, huh?
I don't even think there's really... I guess Kelvin Benjamin is the main target for Cam Newton, so that might elevate him a little bit. Jordan Matthews is the biggest guy on the Eagles roster. He's the only guy over, I think, over 6 foot as a wide receiver, pretty much. So he's going to get a lot of looks in that red zone. But Brandon Cooks, man, with that offense, with Drew Brees throwing, he's going to take over that Darren Sproles kind of thing where he's going to get those quick little flare outs. And how fast that guy is,
Yeah. He's
going to take – I mean, he caught 128 passes his final year in college at Oregon State last year, and that was on, what, 13, 12 games?
Yep.
I mean, over a 16-game season, that guy could catch 160 passes when he's at his prime. So, Brandon Cooks, man, I just watching him in the preseason, he is so much fun to watch. And teams are keying in on him already, and he's a rookie. So, I think he's got the highest ceiling today.
Moving down our cheat sheet, Andre Johnson, Victor Cruz, Wes Welker dealing with that concussion, his third one in the last 10 months. Jeremy Maclin, did you see the preseason game, the Eagles? They were on Thursday night last week, I believe.
When he got smacked and you thought he got shot in the leg with a gun?
What happened on that play?
It was a World Cup soccer injury, pretty much. Went down, cried for a few minutes, and he was back up and fine.
I thought for sure he was done.
Oh, my God. I was like, oh, there goes the ACL again. I was wrong. I mean,
like, the whole thing buckled in a really weird way.
Yeah, I mean, maybe they gave him a fake knee. I have no idea. But whatever they did, I mean, I'm glad to see him get back up. I mean, you hate to see a guy go down like that who can not only give you value in fantasy, but, you know, trying to come back from an injury just to get injured like that again, a la right. Sam Bradford. You know, it's sad to see, but he's got to move down a little bit because he is just so fragile and injury prone.
And who else did I have on this list?
We got Kenny Britt on there moving down sliding. Yeah. And again, that's just really a Sam Bradford thing.
Right. Sam Bradford effect.
He's got an effect on everybody, I guess.
That's tough, man. That's a tough loss for the Rams.
It is. You know, being in that division, I mean, even being in the NFC West, playing against, you know, six games in division with really, really tough opponents. They're still fun to watch. They still scrap it out. I mean, if they're in the NFC East, they probably win that division this year, even with Sam Bradford being their quarterback. So definitely a tough blow for them.
All right, the tight ends that are moving up, Rob Gronkowski, Jordan Reed, Zach Ertz, Kyle Rudolph looks dynamite.
Yeah.
I mean, Norv Turner, you think about the success of his tight ends over the years. Just have been incredible. Most recently, last year with Jordan Cameron. A little bit before that, Antonio Gates. So, Norv Turner certainly knows how to get the best or the most out of his tight ends. I think Kyle Rudolph's in for a really big season. And then, hey, I got Tim Wright moving up, too.
There he is. He's got to move up, making that move up north to New England.
Yeah. I mean, that's a pretty big change of situations. Now, that being said, I thought Trent Richardson last year was a big upgrade, leaving the Browns going to the Colts.
We all
that
did.
Worked out really well.
Yeah, I don't know about him, man. He's looking pretty bad this preseason too. It's for a guy who had that much talent, came in his rookie year for Cleveland and did what he did that rookie year. You're expecting big things, and then when he gets traded to an offense like that, you're like, oh man, he's going to put up points. They can't stack the box. I got Andrew Luck and Reggie Wayne and T.Y. Hilton to worry about on the defense, and he carries the ball for 2 yards a carry.
Dude, it's that all line.
Yeah, it really is.
Well, I'm sorry. Not all of it is the O-line. Some of it is on Trent.
Yeah, some of it definitely is. But that offensive line is a huge factor. I mean, put any of these guys on the Colts, Andrew Luck, Trent Richardson, on a team that has a great offensive line and see what the production would be.
Right.
Astronomically different and on the positive side.
All right, let's continue down our list. Who are the tight ends that are moving down? We got Vernon Davis from the Niners, Jordan Cameron, Jace Amaro, the rookie tight end from the Jets, and Heath Miller. Exciting there other than Cameron and Davis.
Yeah, and again, Cameron, he doesn't have a lot of weapons. Now, if Josh Gordon ends up being allowed to play this year, comes back even for part of the season, I think that definitely helps Jordan Cameron's value. But
sure.
You know, other than that, Jason Morrow not really doing much this year, and I don't expect much out of him. Heath Miller, you know, he's on the downslide of his career, and Vernon Davis, you know, had those 13 touchdowns last year. Can't count on touchdown production every year, and with Crabtree being healthy and adding Steve Johnson, he's going to get a lot less looks than he had in 2013. All right. I'm sorry.
All right, so if you want an updated version of customized rankings, go to ffchamps.com/pats. Enter in your scoring system, and we'll give you a customized cheat sheet
that you can print out or just use the draft tracker, which I highly recommend. It keeps you organized during your fantasy football draft. But again, free membership for the entire 2014 season, ffchamps.com/pats. What do you say, Ian? Think we should get back into some emails?
We got a bunch, man. Let's get in. Let's get into a couple of them and end the show off. Out. I got one pulled up right here, so I'll get into it. And if you want to jump in after this one and find something interesting, let me know.
All right.
All right, so we got one from Andrew C. out in California.
Okay.
Says, hey, guys, 14-team PPR league. We won't know our draft order until right before the draft.
Hate that.
If I'm in the top five, I'll take a running back. And if I'm in the back end, I'll take a stud wide receiver slash running back combo with that snake.
Smart.
But if I'm in the middle, do I take a Monte Ball and hope a Julio Jones falls to me, or take a Dez Bryant first round and hope Geo falls? Two running back, two wide receiver, one flex league.
If he's at, like, let's say he's at seven, he might get one of those receivers. If he takes Monte Ball in the first round, or if he takes Dez in the first round, he might get Geo. If he takes Monte Ball, then he might get Julio. But if he's anything other than seven, I don't see any of those receivers getting back to him.
Yeah, that's going to be tough. I think you have a better chance taking Monte Ball first round and getting Julio Jones to fall back to you than taking Dez and hoping Geo falls, because Geo is definitely going a lot sooner in drafts as the preseason has been going on. I've noticed that. Monte Ball kind of still in that same range, and people are still afraid of the appendectomy, but if you take Dez, I don't think Geo's falling back to you at that point.
We are not afraid of that, by the way, the appendectomy.
No, we're okay with that.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not okay with it, but...
Yeah, so I don't know. That's what sucks about leagues, that you don't find out your draft order until 30 minutes before the draft. What's up with that?
Yeah, man, that's really tough.
How do you prepare? It's like going in blind.
Yeah, I used to play leagues like that with my buddies. We would just pick the draft order when we got there, and I kind of just got sick of it. I said, look, if you want to strategize, you want to make everybody in the league better, make the draft more interesting, you got to pick the order ahead of time. I mean, my main draft this year, we picked our order Super Bowl Sunday while we were watching the game. We got bored. We said, let's pick our draft order. All right. So we knew for 8 months where we were picking at.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't get behind that.
You should.
All right, who do we got next?
All right, next up we got Todd in Jacksonville. Says, happy draft week, guys. Got a couple questions here. A couple questions coming in. Says, I'm picking ninth in my 10-team PPR keeper league. One quarterback, two running backs, two receivers, and one flex to start. My keepers are Randall Cobb in the 13th, Le'Veon Bell in the 15th. Total of 18 players being kept this year. Okay. Other running backs of note being kept: Ryan Matthews, Andre Ellington, Rashad Jennings, C.J. Spiller, and Gio Bernard. Okay. All right, obviously, A.P., Charles, McCoy, all those guys are going to be gone.
Yep.
So with the first two picks, what would you do? Possible scenarios. Scenario A, Monte Ball, Doug Martin, or Dez Bryant, A.J. Green, Brandon Marshall. Let me see. I'm reading this wrong. He's saying, would you take Ball or Martin, and then one of those receivers, Dez, A.J., Brandon Marshall, or flip it, take a wide receiver first, Dez or A.J., and then wait on a DeMarco Murray, Marshawn Lynch kind of combination.
All right, so he has the 10th pick. He already has Le'Veon Bell and Randall Cobb.
Correct.
He's looking at what to do with the 9th overall pick.
Right.
All right, so he wants to know what's the better combo, basically. Jimmy Graham plus one of those receivers? No. Dez Bryant and, you know, back-to-back receivers, Dez Bryant, A.J. Green. I'm going to say no on that, too. Dez Bryant, A.J. Green, or with a Murray-Lynch combo, I'm going to say no on that. I like option A here. Monte Ball and Dez Bryant. Monte Ball, A.J. Green.
Yeah, you get Monte Ball and either Dez, A.J., or Brandon Marshall, plus
Randall
Le'Veon
Cobb. Yeah.
I think you're sitting real pretty right there.
That's a solid foundation.
Yeah. Let's see. So it goes into that a little bit more. Two more quick things. I have an IR spot on my roster where I can put a suspended player and not have them count against my roster. Would you grab Josh Gordon and stash him there? And if so, what round would you draft him in?
12th.
Okay, 12th round.
12th or after.
12th or after. Lastly, is your ranking of Ray Rice devalued a bit because of suspension, or do you just think he's done?
You know, that's a good question.
That is a good question.
And I'd like to discuss this for a little bit. There are certain players that I take into account, like a Ray Rice, for example. I have him missing two games this year. I have him rushing for 569 yards, five touchdowns, 43 receptions, 360 yards receiving, and 2 touchdowns. So 7 touchdowns on the year and a little over 900 yards from scrimmage. Can he get more rushing yards than 569? Yeah, of course he can. Maybe he outplays Bernard Pierce this year. But the guy was, he was terrible last year. I think he averaged like 3.1 yards a carry or something crazy. He was just so bad that I don't want our members to draft him, and that's why I rank him so low, on top of the 2-game suspension.
Yeah, Ray Rice, you could just tell he was on that slight decline ever since he had that big year in 2011.
Yep.
It didn't look bad in 2012 either, but last year, I mean, 660 rushing yards, 3.1 yards per carry, 4 touchdowns total rushing and receiving. That's just really 11. He averaged a little under 12 fantasy points a game last year, and before that, his lowest total was 17.
Yeah.
And not counting his rookie year where he wasn't a starter, so that's a huge drop off within a couple of years, and it's not looking good for him. Missing times just hurts him. If anybody in that backfield takes over, Ray Rice is not going to be the main guy anymore, and he can't be.
We got about 10 minutes left in the show. We got a couple callers on the line. Let's go to Avi in Miami. What's going on, brother?
Hey, what's up, man? How you guys doing?
What's up, Avi?
How are you, bro?
Good, man. How you been?
I've been good, dude. So listen, I got my draft, my last draft, like my main draft.
How was the library?
Last year because of you guys, so thank you.
How was the library last week?
It's on Sunday, okay? And I told you guys kind of like a quick synopsis. It's like I have a 9th pick, and I kind of talked about like the first
time out.
Go ahead.
Did you not call us last week and tell us that you lied to your girlfriend and told her you were going to the library?
Yeah, I didn't go.
How'd that work out?
She found out. She's pretty pissed. Yeah. She has this problem now that, like, Sundays is supposed to be for us because it's, like, her day off. And Sunday's a football day. That's something that when you're born in this country, especially in New England, like, that's what you do, especially, you know, and she doesn't understand it, man. She's from freaking Texas. She should, but she doesn't, I didn't go good, bro. I didn't go good.
All right, now let's get back to your question. I've been dying to hear what happened in that story.
All right, so I talked to you guys last week about, like, the first 4 picks, and they're always there. I mean, I'm talking about, I'm going Dez, Monte. This is not PPR, this is standard. Yeah. Hopefully Antonio Brown in my 3rd or Randall Cobb, and then I go Ellington, okay, for my second running back. My question is this. Here's my question. So for my flex, all right, rounds 5 and 6, I'll go wide receiver, running back, whatever's there, you know. 7, same thing. What I've been doing, man, is I've been really waiting, holding off on the quarterback tight end. And this draft that I'm going to on Sunday, these guys know what they're doing. So I was thinking, should I draft a quarterback in my 7th, 8th, which is like, that's pretty early for me, a quarterback and a tight end back-to-back, you know? And then after that, I'm going to have to bank on sleepers. So I'm going to have really good, let's
starters.
Say, yeah, I mean, I'll have good sleepers, and I'll have, like, a good, like, one really good backup receiver and one really good backup running back that won't be playing. But other than that, like, that those mid-grades, you know, CJ2K, stuff like that, I won't get those guys.
Sometimes it is more important to fill your starting roster and not just fill more bench spots.
Right.
You know, you can only take best available for so long because eventually you do need to fill out a roster fill out a lineup, I should say. The problem with taking a quarterback and a tight end in those same back-to-back picks or, you know, back to, you know, 7th, 8th round or whatever it is.
Right.
Is it does make you miss out on maybe just adding a little more depth. So if you take a quarterback, maybe you take a running back too, or maybe you take a wide receiver too. If you take a tight end, then maybe you wait on the quarterback one more round. So you can at least get one quarterback in there. So I would go mix up this combination, but quarterback running back, quarterback wide receiver, tight end running back, tight end wide receiver. I wouldn't go back-to-back QBTE.
Yeah. Well, my thing is, I love Kyle Rudolph. I agree with you guys. You know what I'm saying? Like, I've been following, Cleveland. I followed San Diego before. I know what North Turner can do. You know, I know whoever starts in Minnesota, either a rookie or Matt, you know, they're going to, like, that's the comfort zone. It's going to be him. As long as he's he stays healthy, that man will produce. Not like, yeah. like the year, not last year, the year before.
Right.
So I want that for my first running back. These guys can get Gronkowski. They can get their grams. I don't want that.
Yeah,
and I was gonna go back on Reed, you know? But what I've noticed is that out of 50 rounds, bro, out of 50 mock drafts, 35 of them, Kyle Rudolph goes 7th round, 8th round, you know? And I kind of don't want to miss that guy. You know, I don't want to.
Listen, I have no problem reaching for the guys that you want on your team. I applaud that kind of thing because it ensures that you're satisfied with your draft. And at the end of the day, you're the one that has to make this roster. You're the one that has to play with it you set it every week. You're the one that is going to say, this is on me. I need to make this team as good as I think. If I think Kyle Rudolph's worth an 8th-round pick, and I want him, and I don't want to risk not getting him, then go out and get him in the 7th. I got no problem doing that.
Yeah. I mean, I think I'm going to do that. I'm going to do what you guys recommended last week. Get Josh Gordon at the end, man.
There you go.
My last pick.
There you go.
You know? That's it, guys. Hey, Kevin, real quick, don't draft Gronkowski. I know you love him. Don't do it, bro. I'll talk to you guys.
All right. Take it easy, buddy.
See you, man.
See, Kev, even the people of America know.
Yeah, I'm not going here.
All right, let's go to one more caller. We got like 3 minutes left in the show. Russ in New York City, why are you calling so late today?
I had an email in there, and I was like starting to cuss myself because I'm like, they might not get my email.
Well, you and about 48 other people have emails in here today.
I know. I was like, wait, because I didn't know there was no show on Thursday. So I was
I think that's a lot of people were like, oh, crap. Yeah.
Once we said that. Once we said that, man, the emails just blew up.
Yeah, it was like dollar days at Walmart. It was like, you know, they couldn't get in the place.
People fighting in the aisles.
I charge, you get 2 free tokens when you become an FF Champs member. Free expert advice tokens.
And you guys flatter me on Twitter because, you know, I mean, I get a lot of freebies on Twitter, so I am spoiled. I really am.
Yeah, you guys got you two had a little bit of a bromance this weekend. I had to shut off my notifications. Every tweet was favorited. Every tweet was retweeted. I was mentioned in all these tweets. I didn't know what the hell was going on. I shut off my notifications. My battery drained so quick that I just couldn't deal with it. I was like, what the heck is happening?
People thought you were blowing up, but in reality, it was just 2 guys that had no lives, like talking about things.
It was just Anthony and Russell going back and forth on Twitter.
So I
somehow got looped in.
Well, listen, more important stuff. I mean, well, first of all, I mean, how cool is that Avi guy? I want to hang out with that dude. I don't know what that means.
Listen, he's up there as one of our all-time favorite callers. Of course, you're up there as well. But Avi brings
that.
A certain mystique, some kind of mystery to us because he's down there in Miami, man. We don't really know what he does.
Yeah, there's something cool about that. But and he kind of stole a little bit of my thunder because, like, basically my main issue is I'm faced in the 5-hole with 12-team PPR. I'm either going to be drafted a team almost exactly like Ant, where it's like wide receiver, or I keep going back and forth where I can just stack running back. But either way, I see myself like doing a late tight end and a late QB, as you guys on FF Champs always preach.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's going to be an Ertz or Rudolph or whatever, but you know, it's just I'm torn because I'm a guy who basically had to recreate my entire team last year with San Diego Chargers, and that kind of got me to the final. And I just want to try to be a little bit more prepared so I'm not scrambling with all these waiver wire in-season kind of moves. So, you know, I'm still there. You know, I can do like Monty Ball, like kind of, you know, go from there, or I can do the Anthony kind of combination.
Right.
You know, Dez, Antonio. And I guess it's just going to be a game-time decision, you know? I don't know. That's it. I'm kind of, like, talking and not really asking a question. But.
Yeah, I was waiting for something with what do you think about that, but I never came.
Well, you're every week you say something different, though. You're like, oh, wait, we told him to take Lacy, you know? I'm like, what? You know, it's like Forte, Lacy, or, like, you know, Dez.
Non-PPR, I'm taking Lacy at the 5th hole. In a PPR, I'm taking a wide receiver, and it's Demaryius. I've never flip-flopped on that.
Okay. So it's basically going to be Demaryius, then I'm going to come back with, like, Jordy maybe in the 2nd, and then I always see that I can get Shane in the 3rd. So I'll get my basic. I mean, he's an RB1 in PPR, isn't he?
Yeah.
Especially with all this Ridley nonsense?
I think so.
Okay. And I'm just going to push QB and tight end. I mean, honestly, if I get Russell Wilson as my starting QB, I think I'm happy. You guys okay with that?
Russell Wilson and who?
I mean, I'm just going to wait for my QB to the back. I mean, like, if I get to round 8 or round 9 and it's, like, Rivers or Wilson, I mean, like,
I'm okay with either one of them.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to get Romo because that Anthony, was that more of like a round 7 kind of deal? When did your QB start going?
I got Romo in round 8, but we saw, I mean, Andrew Luck and Matt Stafford went round 3 in my draft. So I had the luxury of waiting a lot longer. Cam Newton went in like round 5. I mean, a lot of guys that I didn't really want to necessarily touch unless they fell to me. But, I mean, Tony Romo round 8, God, I thought that was excellent value at the time. My team was stacked up before then. I had my starters. I had 2 solid bench players. I mean, I got Tony Romo, Zach Ertz, and Kyle Rudolph between rounds 8 and 11. I mean, like I said, wait on that quarterback, wait on that tight end. And like I said, if you're playing with the same guys that you play with every single year, like my league, it's 11 out of 12 are the same every single year. You know what their tendencies are. You know what they do. And check out, like, most of the guys I play with, they look at ESPN for their cheat sheets. I know who they're picking, and I know that FF Champs, we have guys a lot higher. So when they're like, oh, I'm going to take Ben Tate in the 3rd round, I just laugh because you're an idiot, and I'm not. So that's all there is to it.
Oh, yeah.
You're a loser.
Oh, yeah, it's awesome. Listen, last thing, Bill, if I get Demaryius first, are you okay with me getting Sanders, or you don't want me having the wide receiver depth stacked on the Denver?
I don't mind that. Listen, I won 2 championships last year, one with Demaryius Thomas and Julius Thomas, the other one with Eric Decker and Julius Thomas, so I'm okay with stacking up on the Bronco playmaker.
All right, guys.
That is a very, very rare exception, okay?
All right.
I'm not saying you do that with the Jaguars. All right, let's be clear here. The Broncos are probably the only team that I'd be willing to stack up like that on. Maybe Cobb and Nelson, but I'm not doing it with Julio and Roddy White. I would take it easy. Broncos are really the only ones.
And if I do that, and I'm sitting around in the 11th, 12th round with nothing to do, should I get Cody Latimer?
No.
Okay.
There's no need.
Okay.
Take Josh Gordon instead. Twitter. All right, Russ, we got to hang up the phone. The show's got to be over here. So it's time. Kevin's working overtime. He's billing me right now. Really only one more show, 2 more shows until the season starts. No show on Thursday. We'll be back next Tuesday, day after Labor Day, September 2nd, for a hybrid Week 1 preseason show. And then next Thursday's show, it's going to be all about Week 1 because we are only 8 days away from the 2014 NFL season. We had a fantastic show today. A lot of emailers. I know we didn't get to you. I will personally respond. I will send you your draft grades. I will answer your draft questions. Don't worry about it. Just, you got to give me a little bit. By Wednesday afternoon, everyone will have an answered email. I can promise you that. A lot of callers today, too. A lot of people looking for draft advice, eh? It's that time of year.
You need the information now. It's not going to slow down during the season. They're going to want to know who to put in there, who to put on the bench, trade offers, free agent pickups. Man, this is going to be a fun, fun year for us, Bill. That's all I know.
Kevin, any closing thoughts before we take off?
No, just really looking forward to getting this thing started for real and being done with the preseason.
All right, Anthony, how about you?
I gotta say the same thing, man. Let's get it done. I mean, we've got one more solid, strong show to get some more draft advice in there, and then we're off and running, man. We're off the diving board. We're falling towards the pool. Less than a week, we're gonna be in the water.
There you go. For Kevin Collins, Anthony Grace, I am Bill Enright. For your free membership to FFChamps.com, go to FFChamps.com/Pats. Free membership. It'll help you dominate your 2014 fantasy draft and daily fantasy football. Best of luck to all you out there drafting this week. Big Labor Day weekend. We'll be back next Tuesday, September 2nd, for more Fantasy Football Champs right here on Patriots.com Radio.
Thanks for listening to FF Champs on Patriots.com Radio. Bill and Anthony are back live every Tuesday and Thursday from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time to answer all of your fantasy questions. Log on anytime to Patriots.com to download our latest FF Champs podcast, available after every show. We look forward to hearing from you on the next edition of Fantasy Football Champs.